For some of us, getting out of bed is a battle. Getting our kids out of bed is a battle. Going to work is a battle. We battle finances, we battle careers, we battle age, weight, and health concerns. And if battling coworkers, family members, and sometimes even our own selves, if that isn't enough, Paul tells us this in Ephesians 3:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh, geez, it's not my annoying neighbor I have to worry about. You mean I have to worry about things I can't see and not even sure even exist? Pastor, you don't really mean demons and devils. They're not real, are they? Let me tell you, yes, they are real. And every day we have battles before us. And yet we wrestle with the one who is capable of helping us. That's right, we wrestle with God. We struggle to follow His instructions, and too many times we are going in the opposite direction that He has called us. And you might say, Pastor, but life is hard. Do you know what I have to face every day? I mean, God could make it a whole lot easier on me. He could make me wealthy. That would help, right? He could make me powerful. That would make things better, right? He could even make me a king. Okay, maybe not that king. Or maybe not this king. And those of you who are laughing have seen that very irreverent movie. And okay, maybe not this king. Although I'd love to have that voice. Wouldn't you love to have that voice, James Earl Jones? Man. But how about this king? King Solomon. You know, some people think that if they had money or success, then it would be easy to follow God. But even the wisest and wealthiest man on earth had problems following God's plan. King Solomon was the son of King David. There had been controversy over Solomon from birth. Solomon was the fourth child between David and Bathsheba. Now, if you remember, David had other wives and children. He was a victorious king. He was loved by his people for most of it. God was willing to give him anything he had asked. But David wanted what he couldn't have. He wanted Bathsheba, the wife of another man. And after cheating with her, she becomes pregnant. David has her husband killed and takes Bathsheba as his wife. And God causes them to lose their first child. But he has three more children with her, including the fourth, Solomon. Among all of David's wives, David had nearly 20 sons and potentially more with all of the concubines that he had. And as King David nears his end, there is a battle among the sons as to who would be the successor. Now, by all accounts and traditions, the oldest son of David should be the rightful king, right? But King David, through the prophet Nathan, keeps his promise and anoints Solomon as the next king. And David gives some really good advice to Solomon. We heard in 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I am about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. do this so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. That is, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. I think King David was really saying, hey, son, I've lived through the good and bad. I have wrestled with God all my life. I have disobeyed God and I have followed God. And do you know what? God wins every time. Every time. So, son, just do yourself a favor and follow God. Don't make the same mistakes that I did. And Solomon started off well when he was anointed king over Israel. A prophet told Solomon that he could ask for anything. Ask God for anything. Solomon could have asked for more wealth and more power. But instead, Solomon asked for wisdom so that he might better rule the people. And looking at chapter 3, it says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do whatever you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor there will ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and my commandments as David your father did, I will give you a long life. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? And God did bless Solomon. Solomon is considered by many historians to be the wealthiest man that ever lived. It is said that people came from all over the world to listen to his wisdom. He had everything he could have ever wanted: money, power, wisdom, and fame. And God said to Solomon, all you've got to do is keep being obedient to my way. And if you do that, I will keep blessing you over a long life. Solomon built the first great temple. He had the Ark of the Covenant placed in a permanent resting place. And in 1 Kings 9, God says, good job. And again, God says, keep following me and I will keep blessing you. But he warns him, if you stop following me, if your sons stop following me, there will be trouble. Solomon had it so good, you might say that he had gold-plated gold. He had more wealth, wisdom, and respect and knowledge that one could ever have. And all he had to do was remain obedient. Anybody want to take that life? Carla would like the bills paid. Eventually, King Solomon decided that it was okay to stop doing things God's way. Solomon developed a taste for women. It is said that he took on 700 wives, 300 concubines. And through his love and lust of these women, he began to feign in his faith. And he thought it was okay to worship the gods of these foreign wives. You know, thinking, it's no big deal. I really don't mean it, right? I can go worship with them and do these other things. It's not a big deal. But you see, this did not go over well with God. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, And you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. The great kingdom of Solomon. You understand that David built a kingdom from northern Egypt all the way up, covering parts of Persia, and all the way north of what we know of today as Israel, and over to the sea. People feared the nation of Israel. And people came to see Solomon, this great and wise person. And this kingdom was taken away. The nation of Israel ends up split for centuries because of disobedience. The 12 tribes are reduced to a northern and a southern kingdom. And then down to just one. The tribe of Judah. Where we get the term Jew. And now only Israel is a remnant of the land that it once had. Mel Brooks said it was good to be the king. And for Solomon, it was, at least for a while. See, the Bible is full of stories and stories of God blessing those who are obedient. And there are stories upon stories of people who are disobedient. And they find that they lose God's blessing and ultimately in tragic circumstances. So with so many examples before us in God's word, you think that we would learn, but we don't. Why do we continue to wrestle with God? Why do we continue to want to do it our way, even after we find ourselves in trouble? We want an easy road, don't we? We want to be the king of our world. We'd love to win the lottery, live on easy street. But you know, life doesn't work that way. Ask another king, Elvis. How did fame and fortune work out for him? Ask dozens of other famous people no longer with us how fame and fortune worked out for them. All those tabloid magazines right there at the grocery store, they make millions of dollars off of all the stars who fall from grace, don't they? Every week's a new story of who cheated on who and who did this and what's going on. But here's the truth in life. No matter how little or how much you have, everyone will have troubles. Everyone will have issues. And how should we deal with it? So let us go to James. Now, this is your third time hearing it, so it should really stick, right? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Doesn't that just sound odd? Find it joyful, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Boy, I'd like to not be lacking anything. You mean I'll be rich? We'll be spiritually rich, which means we'll be truly complete, truly blessed. You see, it changes things when we put our faith and our trust in God in that situation. And as God leads us through that, our perseverance and our trust grows in Christ. When we put our full faith in Him, it matures us as Christians, and we begin to see the richness we have through our salvation, the peace that Jesus Christ gives us. And in verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Anybody want to raise their hand? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it would be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. You must believe and not doubt. Do you get that? That's the key to this whole passage. You must believe and not doubt. This is part of our problem in the church today. We put our faith in everything but God. We believe the politicians are going to save us. We believe all the doctors and everybody else are going to save us. And I'm not saying God doesn't heal us using medicine. I don't want to say that. The problem is we don't go to God first. Got to go to God first. And you got to believe that He will lead you and guide you even in the most subtle ways of the right path and the right way to go. Do you really believe in God? Do you really believe in His power? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to fill you and transform your life? Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, we have nothing. You must believe and not doubt. James goes on to write, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Do you have days like that? Did you just being blown from place to place, back and forth, and one wave, and another wave, and another wave, and another wave? James says that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. That sounds like harsh words, doesn't it? If you don't believe, don't expect anything. We have to have full faith in who God is. We need to believe and trust His will. The Lord has called us and commanded us to follow Him. Yet we wrestle with Him all the time. Well, really, God, do you really want me to get up an extra hour early to go to Sunday school? I mean, that's my day to sleep in. I mean, I made it to church. Isn't that good enough? Oh no, God, you want me to sing in a choir? No, that's not me. Oh, God, you want me to sit behind a computer and run sound? That's not me. God, you want me to go on a mission trip? God, you want me to go talk to my neighbor about Jesus? Do you remember the joke I told him last week? I don't think I should do that. We wrestle with God. We argue with God. We deny God. We don't believe and have full faith and trust in where He is taking us. Who here really thinks they're going to win? Because we can trade places. You think you're going to win an argument with God? Some of you want a big sign, don't you? You want it big and clear on a banner.
big flashing light saying, do this.
But you know what? Usually God is calling us softly and tenderly. And maybe you have strayed from God's words and his commands. Are you walking in the ways of the Lord? Are you on a path that you should not be on? Jesus says, come back home. It's time to turn around, stop arguing, stop wrestling, and come home. Some of you are beaten up by life and all that it brings. Life can be challenging. Life can be hard. Facing health concerns, end of life issues, children that aren't going the right way, this not going right. And you're about ready to give it all up. And Jesus says, come home, get a hug. Time to come home. Quit fighting it. Just surrender and come home. And there could be some of you here, no matter how long you've been in church, maybe you've never really known Jesus. Maybe Jesus has never been home to you. But Jesus says, all of you are my sheep. All of you are like orphans. You are out there lost and without a shepherd. And I'm calling for you to come home. He's saying, you who are weary, come home. Stop wrestling. It's time we stop wrestling with God. It's time we stop wrestling with the world. It's time we stop wrestling with ourselves. And if you are ready to come home, if you're ready to tap out of the wrestling match and say, God, you win, we're going to have time for you to come down here today. We haven't done an altar call and I don't know when, which is my fault. But today, if you need to come home, if you're ready to surrender to God during our final hymn, I want you to come forward and come and kneel at the altar. And I will come and lay hands and pray for you. And this will be open. And Gwen, you'll just keep turning that piano over until everybody who needs prayed has been prayed for. The day is a day we stop wrestling. Because if you're waiting for the good times to start following God, forget it. Didn't work for Solomon, did it? He had the good times. He had it all. But temptation took him away from God. Let's not wait for good times or the right time or the perfect time. Now's the time to come and surrender to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work in this church. And he is working to do some great and mighty things. And there's nothing Satan likes or hates more than an obedient church. And when we become God's obedient church, you have no idea the kind of power that the Holy Spirit can unleash. Because I am ready for miracles. Are you ready for miracles? Because I believe we serve a God of miracles. I believe we serve a God who can bring healing, who can bring strength, who can bring growth, who can bring people back to Jesus Christ. That is the God I serve. And when we as God's people unite together through the power of the Holy Spirit,
It will be amazing and wonderful, the revival and transformation that will be completed here. But you have to believe. Believe and do not doubt. May the peace, love, and understanding of God surround you as you leave this place. May your hearts and mind be obedient to the will of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.